From St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas, a joyful Christian community, this is Soulful Sundays, a weekly podcast of our 5 o'clock service. I'm Patrick Miller, the rector of St. Mark's. Welcome.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now, after John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in the boats mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I was at dinner on Friday night. I was at dinner at Friday night with some really great friends. And I just like to go to dinner with these friends because he teaches classics, undergraduate classics at Rice, and she teaches undergraduate English at Rice, and I just sit there. Because I have nothing else to offer. I'm a priest. And I just listened to them talk, and it was great. And Scott said, "And do you know that W.H. Auden poem about Icarus?" And I'm like, "No, I don't know this poem about Icarus. I don't know it." So we Googled the poem, found the poem. It was a great poem, W.H. Auden's poem about Icarus, that I do not have for you tonight. It's just that it reminded me of Icarus. And I don't know if you remember or know your Greek mythology, but Icarus is an awesome symbol. His father, Daedalus, is the creator of the labyrinth, and he gets in trouble with the king for which he created the labyrinth, and so the king imprisons him in the labyrinth, and so Daedalus makes wings out of wax and feathers for he and his son Icarus to use to fly out of the labyrinth, and he says to his son, "Now, stick by me. Don't fly too high, don't fly too low, just stick with me and we'll fly out of here." Well, once they're out, Icarus is so enamored with the fact that he can fly that he flies too close to the sun. The heat melts the wax, the feathers disappear, and he plunges into the ocean. The poem is a reflection of a painting where the only thing you can really tell are the small legs of Icarus in the splash here, while there's a plowman pulling and a shepherd doing this and a ship doing that. And there's just this small example of hubris splashing there into the water. It's a great image for those of us who are ambitious. It's problematic because when we are too ambitious, we are most certainly going to fly too close to the sun and to get inflated and then plunge to our demise. It's on my mind because it resonates with me, I guess, because I'm in my 10th year as rector of St. Mark's. I started in February of 2008, and in that 10 years, I have been extremely ambitious at times, and I have flown too close to the sun, maybe. And the wax on my wings has melted at times, and I have fallen. Usually, that looks like a negative balance in the budget. I haven't really physically hurt myself, but I have felt inflated at times, ambitious for this place and what it can do, impatient at times for this place of St. Mark's and what we can do as parishioners and as priests. I recently just rediscovered the work of a man named Walter Brueggemann, who I appreciate. And his work, he's an Old Testament scholar, and and he's sort of in his career, he's been a challenge to me in so many ways, in ways to kind of confront and to be in Scripture with you. And he points out in a book that typically what happens, there is the preacher, me, I make a mistake. And I become an ally of the text of the Bible. So the Bible and I become allies in our common enemy, which is you. And so we get together and we think up ways to beat you with each other. The pastor and the Bible come together to abuse the parishioner. And he says that's just not a good idea. It doesn't go very long. It sets me up for a hubristic failure, an Icarus-type flight, where I am the Bible expert, and I relay my Bible expertise on you. He suggests, and I believe rightly so, that what is better is that the parishioner and the priest, or the preacher, we become the allies with our common adversary, the text. That we get aligned in our own sort of dismay with the texts that we are confronted with. And believe me, they're confrontational. And that we come together, and I don't sit up here as some sort of expert at the Bible. I sit up here as simply the facilitator of the conversation to perhaps plant a few ideas into your head, but to know you well enough and to know what's going on in your lives well enough that we are together wrestling with what the text brings us. And so tonight we should practice that because we have this Mark Gospel, chapter 1. John goes to jail. Jesus goes up to the Galilee, walks along the shore, walks up to a very nice fisherman and says, I can help you fish for people. Follow me and let's fish for people. And they do. Whoop, family business, never mind, we're out. Goes to the next boat, the Zebedee boat, and sees James and John, and says, follow me. And they do, leaving their dad with the hired men to go and follow this Jesus. Now that's a bit controversial if you think about it, that Jesus is calling all of us to economic irresponsibility. That we're to leave whatever this business is, that's the livelihood of other people, and just go follow Jesus and see whatever he does. It's not really what's going on, but that's what it feels like. That we are called out of some sort of way, and we're supposed to ditch it and just go follow Jesus. Well, if we did that, I don't know what we would look like. I think it would just be kind of a strange thing. But let's get together on it. Perhaps what this story of discipleship is that it asks us a very, very hard question. The scholar who wrote the article for the New Interpreter's Bible says, at the end of her reflection on that text in particular, what are you willing to leave behind in order to proclaim the good news? What are you willing to leave behind in order to proclaim the good news? I once learned from my New Testament professor that Christian, that word, is a great word. It comes from, it's Christoi. Christoi is the Greek. Christoi, little anointed ones. Christ, the anointed. Christians, the little anointed ones. We are the little anointed ones. We are the ones who have agreed. We were baptized. We agreed that this thing, this proclamation is true, and that we will carry it out into the world. We will leave something behind in order to proclaim the good news that Jesus has come into the world, that the kingdom is near, that sins are forgiven, that healing is possible, that the broken are made whole, the hungry are fed, the dead rise to life. We are called to let the world know that. And I find that to be a most fantastic enterprise, a lifelong thing. From the initial sort of calling of what do you need to leave behind in order to go follow and to proclaim, to these little rhythms where you constantly are having to reassess those things which tether you to something and keep you from being able to do that which you were called to do. For me, it's inferiority and fear. I arrived here 10 years ago with a gigantic inferiority complex. I just couldn't believe that I was called to be a rector of something, and here I show up in this, and I had no idea what to do. By the second year, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And this inferiority, I had to just get rid of it. I had to be reminded that really the architecture of this church is the symbol. I had to be reminded that this is an aisle and that there's nothing in the way here. This aisle is completely open for you and for me to get up here to this holy table to receive this holy food. Nothing blocks you from coming up here. Nothing. For me, it was what blocked me was my fear. Fear of what? It's the worst thing that could happen to me. Dying. Dying. Well, we proclaim that death is not to be feared. So suddenly, over the course of 8 years, I got braver. I got more courage. I realized something. That yes, indeed, the opposite of inferiority is inflated. So those times that I had to cut in my inflatedness, oh, I'm so great, the great Patrick, that I would fly and my wings would melt. I realized something in all of it, that maybe perhaps the Christians could steal the Icarus story and see God as Daedalus. God, this is how you get out of the prison, Patrick. We'll fly out of here. Don't fly too high. Don't fly too low. Just stick right behind me, and we'll get out of here. Every time I've put my trust and been reminded of putting my trust in that, amazing things have happened. And I have 10 years of an amazing ministry with you in this place, where when we have done that, we have flown even and done amazing things. So I offer that to you tonight. Invite you up through this aisle, unimpeded, to find those ropes and cut them and fly right behind God, knowing God is with you, leading you as you follow and as we proclaim. Amen.
This episode was produced by St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas. Special thanks to our band, led by Cameron Deason-Hammond, and featuring Jeremy Nuncio, Asher Pudlow, and Andrew Gordon. Join us every Sunday for Soulful Sundays at 5 p.m. at St. Mark's, 3816 Bel Air Boulevard in Houston, Texas, or visit us online at stmarks-houston.org.